North ends in Kolel, Shir given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim chapter Yud Zayin, and we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis, and the Shir is given on Sunday 30th of January 2011, Kaf He Shvat Toshin Ayin Aleph. Pardon? And Norman says we're starting at 9:10 and we should finish by 10, and that's on the recording there. For all posterity. Okay, we'll see how we go. Alright, I'll do my best. Okay, starting with Pasuk Yud Beis, Dimyono. Oh, you got it there, right, yeah. Yeah, it's a chapter Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. You'll find that one easier because this hasn't got the Pasuk numbers. Yeah. Okay. David HaMelech is talking about the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Dimyono Ka'aryeh. His appearance is like a lion. Yichsof litrof, he wants to tear, wants to rip his prey apart. The chichafir, and like a lion cub, yoshef b'mistorim, living in or sitting in hidden places. Living in a hidden place. Oh, so the first thing so David is comparing the enemies of Klal Yisrael to lions, the lions or lion cubs. They're trying to rip us apart as though we are their prey. Dimyono ka'aryeh yichsof litrof, his appearance is like a lion, yichsof litrof, he wants to rip apart, the chichafir, and like the lion cub, kafir is a lion cub, yoshev b'mistorim, living in hidden places. Years ago there was a boy in Hasmonean whom I taught, his name was Kafir. Kafir, yeah, interesting. A lion cub, yeah. Well, you have a dove and a tzvi, and so you have a kafir as well. Must be used as a modern Ivrit name. Okay. Can't recall that. I'll edit that one out. Right. Okay. Yichsev. Now, this word yichsev is an interesting word. Dimyono ka'aryeh yichsof, the appearance is like a lion, yichsof litrof, who wants to rip apart. Now the word yichsof is an interesting word. The root is kaf samach fei, and it means to desire or to want. And in fact, there's a pasuk in the Torah, when Yaakov Avinu runs away from Lavan and Lavan chases after him, Lavan says, Lavan challenges him, why have you run away from me? You should never have run. Oh, good morning, Johnny. And he says, the pasuk says it's in the end of Vayetzi, chapter Lamed Aleph, pasuk Lamed. V'atahalu chalachta. Now you've surely gone. Ki nichsof nichsafta elamecha. Sorry, I got that wrong. Ki nichsof nichsafta leves avicha. You have surely desired to go to your father's house. It's chapter Yuzan, pasuk 12. So you. Oh, yes, of course, I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's it. So it means to desire. Nichsef nichsafta, you surely desired the vesavicha. Nichsefa v'gam kol sanashi. It's a pasuk somewhere in Tehillim, I think. Yeah. Yud-Zayin 12. Yeah, to me, I know. Yeah. You say that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we have this Sheresh, which means Kasamafe, which means to desire or to want. So it's occurred to me, and I confirmed this when I discussed this with Rabbi Martin Torben. Quite a bit of this morning's Shir was prepared with immense help from Rabbi Martin Torben, and I'm really grateful to him because there was quite a few things I couldn't fathom out without his help. And one of the things we discussed was this word Yichsof, Kasamafe, to desire. And as I pointed out to him, and he immediately said that he'd been thinking the same, that the word kesef, which is used for money or for silver, comes from the same shoresh, because the shoresh as a root means to desire or to want something. So money is a basic human desire, basic human want, and therefore that's why money or silver is called kesef, because it comes from the shoresh to desire or to want.
Yeah,
good, thank you.
Kesef means to want. Also.
Yes, the root, kasamach fei, is a verb, and it means to want something. And that's what we have here, ka'aryeh yichsof, dimyono ka'aryeh yichsof, the yichsof litrof. The appearance of the enemy is like a lion, yichsof litrof, who desires to rip apart, who desires to rip us apart, says David. So, and something Rabbi Tolman said to me in the name of his Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Baruch Horowitz, he said that Lashon HaKodesh is based, that he's in Hebrew, nouns stem from verbs. That is, you have a shoresh, which is a doing word, kaf samech pei, to want, and from that shoresh to desire or to want, we get the noun kesef, silver. And the what comes first is the verb, and the noun comes from that. You know, for example, we have all this etcetera. We just start again, start learning about the Mishkan. The word mizbeach is a noun, and it comes from a shoresh zayin veis ches, which is to slaughter. Zevachim, zevach, yeah. Zayin veis ches, zevach, zevach lo Elohim yacharam, was posuk in yesterday's sedra. So in Mishpatim, so zayin veis ches is the root, and it means to slaughter. And we take that shoresh, and we stick a mem at the beginning of the shoresh, and we end up with a noun, and we get mizbeach. Pardon? Pardon? Test veis ches is another root. Yes, it also means to slaughter. And for there you get the Hebrew word mitbach as a kitchen. Yeah? Aleph chof lamed is a root, and it's a verb, and it means to eat. Stick a mem at the beginning of that, and you get a noun, ma'achol, food. Yeah? Mishteh is a drinking party, and it comes, and that's a noun, and it comes from the root, shin sof hei, which means to drink. So the starting point is the verb. Yeah? You get the verbs first, and the nouns come from verbs. What's the significance of that? So Rabbi Taubman told me in the name of Rabbi Baruch Horowitz that Yiddishkeit is not a static religion. It's an active religion. We're verb based. We're more interested in verbs. We do. We start with verbs because we're careful. Because it's an action based religion, and nouns are static. So we don't start with nouns and derive our verbs from the nouns. No, we start with our verbs and we derive our nouns from the verbs. Is that a beautiful idea?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, the...
So we start with verbs because we believe in action.
Exactly. Yeah, we're an active religion. Now, there's a strange thing in this pasuk, pointed out by the Ibn Ezra. Don't forget that this pasuk is a direct continuation of the pasuk we've just had before. So, for example, pasuk Yud Aleph, Asher, we just did Yud Aleph last week, Asherenu Atos Vavunu. They surround us to watch our footsteps. And then Yoshi said into his body, it's their eyes, they put their eyes spreading out over the land to watch us carefully. The point being, we're talking about the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and that is in the plural. That posuk, Yud Aleph, is in the plural, because referring to multiple enemies. And Asherenu Atosuvavunu, they surround us. That's all in the plural. Yet, here in Yud Beis, we're continuing to talk about our enemies, and it says, Dimyono, his appearance is Ka'aryeh like a lion. That's now in the singular. Why is that? So the Ibn Ezra points out that we've changed. Till now we've been speaking about the enemies in the plural. Now suddenly we start discussing them in the singular. Interesting? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Why is that? So the Ibn Ezra points out that he doesn't really give an answer. He just says our posuk, you'd need to explain our posuk is Dimyono, the appearance of each and every one of our enemies is Ka'aryeh. He says that you need to realize that we're really referring in the plural to lots of enemies, but because it's in the singular, it refers to each one separately. Dumiono, his appearance in the singular, Ka'aryeh is like a lion. That's how the expression, that the wording of the Ibn Ezra is Kol Echod Mehasozazim. Each one of those enemies that are surrounding us is like a lion. Okay.
They have one purpose.
Yes, they're unified. You mean unified in their purpose to destroy us?
Yes, it's one.
So it's in the singular for that reason. Yeah, because referring to them as one unified whole. Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah.
And together they make a lion. Together,
yes.
They're
yeah.
Like a lion.
Yeah, well, each one
unified,
is like a lion.
Unity makes them more powerful.
Right. More powerful, that's right. But each one is like a lion. Good, okay. Now the Radak understands this pasuk is referring to one particular enemy. Which particular enemy? Sha'ol. Sha'ol HaMelech. says to David HaMelech, who's referring to Shaul, Shaul is like a lion, he's waiting to get me, which of course he did. He made various attempts on David's life. That's brought by the Radak. The enemy in our Pasuk is Shaul HaMelech. Says the Malbim, how does that tie in with the Pasuk? Well, you remember how, if you see the pattern of the Pasuk, it's one of those Pasuk which we would call a parallelism. Dimyono ka'aryeh, the appearance of the enemy is like a lion in the first half of the Pasuk. Wait, yichsof, litchof, wanting to rip apart. And then the second half of the Pasuk echoes that. The chichafir, and like a lion cub, yoshev b'mistorim, living in secret places. So the second half of the Pasuk echoes the first half of the Pasuk. Now, that is an acceptable pshat throughout Tanakh, but the Malbim, you have a parallelism in a Pasuk, where the second half of the Pasuk echoes the first, but nearly every time the Malbim goes against that. The Malbim, whenever you have a Pasuk in Tanakh, which is a parallelism, where the second half echoes the first half in a slightly different expression of words, but the idea is similar, the Malbim goes against that. And the Malbim says, no, the second half has a different chiddush than the first half. And that's exactly what the Malbim says here.
Also covert.
Shkoich. You're mechavin to the Malbim. Exactly how the Malbim puts this. But the Malbim builds this based on what the Radak says. The Radak says we're referring to Shaul. That Shaul is the enemy referred to in our Pasuk, who chased David for all those years. Says the Malbim, how does that work? Because Shaul attacked David firstly in the royal palace. He made a number of attempts at David's life by chucking a spear at him. I think it might even have been three times, I'm not sure. Threw a spear at David on no fewer than three occasions, and David dodged it or shot or missed on each of those occasions. Later on, David was on the run in the deserts, in the Midbar, and Shaul was chasing him. Says the Malbim, that's what we've got in our Pasuk. Dimyono ka aryeh. What's the difference between an aryeh and a kafir? The aryeh is the fully mature lion who goes out into the wild to chase. The kafir is the lion cub who's not quite mature enough to go out into the wild to chase. And so what does the lion cub do? He's Yoshev b'mistarim. He lives at home, mistarim, in hidden places. He hides himself, waiting for prey to come his way, and then he pounces and gets it, as Shaul did within the palace. So Shaul tried to kill David while he was still in the palace, and that's echoed by the chichafir yoshev b'mistarim, in secret places, hidden away in a secret place, but not going out. Why? Because the lion cub is not yet old enough or mature enough to go out, and the first half of the pasuk is dimyono ka'aryeh, is like a lion, a mature lion who will go out to hunt. Now,
Shaul was out trying to
chasing David in the desert.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's like a lion.
There was two parts to war. There's actually going out for war, and there's the intelligence too, and that part of it.
Fair enough, but it echoes the maturation process of a lion. So I did a lot of research this week, actually last week, onto lions, and I can tell you the pattern with lions is as follows: the lions tend to give birth. A litter of lions is either three or sometimes even four cubs at a time. One of whom is usually too weak to survive and dies very young. Another one is often quite weak as well, but not so weak to die, but is therefore helped along by the others. Now, the lion cubs cannot hunt at all till they're about 6 months old. And at 6 months, they don't go out to hunt. The lioness, typically it's the lioness who goes to hunt, not the lion. A lioness does the hunting, brings the food back to the family, and the lion will often, the male will often take food that she's brought back and will take from that. If a kill is too much for a lioness to cope with, the animal is too, the prey is too big for the lioness to cope with, then the lion will help. Then the male will help. But at any rate, the food will come back. The lioness or the lioness with the lion will bring the food back and will give that food to the very young cubs. under 6 months old. Once they're 6 months old, they will often do then the lioness will train them in hunting, but their training can't go out yet. They're too young to go out to hunt. They stay at home, they hide, and if prey comes near, then they pounce and they get it. Yeah, that's Yoshev b'Mistarim. That's living in a secret place without going out to hunt. After, at the age of about 2 years, then they go out to hunt. And that's Demiona Ka'arie. That's when they're old enough to go out. Yes, I've done quite a bit of research. So there we are. That's the difference between the lion cubs will grab a freebie meal at home without going out to hunt, or the lioness will bring them food, or sometimes they will be Yoshev b'Mistarim. They'll hide themselves somewhere, and they won't hunt it, but they're just, if prey conveniently walks past, then they get that. Interesting? Yeah? So this is how the Malbim learns Pshat, as you say, the Malbim learning Pshat based on the Radak. There's a reference to Shaul. Shaul tried to kill David both in the palace and later on going out to hunt him as well. The Sefer Zera Yaakov, which we're now starting to quote quite a bit, which is a Sefer written by, I must check it with Eli Pick, an ancestor either of Eli's or of his wife, Sefer written by Rabbi Yaakov Kohn, Rabbi Yaakov Cohen, he says it's a reference to the Yetzirah. Who's the enemy here? It's the Yetzirah. He actually said it brought to a similar pshat, I think, on last week's passage. It's the Yetzirah. It says the Yetzirah is Yoshev b'Mistarim. He hides himself away and he waits for an opportunity to pounce. And he says a Yetzirah will give a person 150, it's his own expression, 150 different excuses to do an Aveira. And will even persuade the person that the Aveira is really a mitzvah. Yeah, so you 150, you give 150 good reasons to do an Aveira, and that's Kefir b'Mistarim. So that's the Kefir b'Mistarim, the lion cub hiding, lurking, waiting for an opportunity to strike. That's what precisely how the Yetzirah operates. Now I have a kasha on this posuk. Did I write this down? I can't believe I didn't write this down. Hang on. I did write it down. I just wrote it in the wrong place. This morning, I prepared possibly a base for last week's show, and we didn't get to it. But this morning, I suddenly remembered there's a posuk in Eicha. And it's a kasha, it's not a big kasha, it's a small kasha, but I haven't got an answer for it. Small kasha. In Eicha, there's a pasuk in Eicha, let me find it. It's Eicha, and it's chapter Gimel Pasuk Yud, my initials, Gershon Yitzchak, chapter Gimel Pasuk Yud, which says, again, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he punishes Klal Yisrael. He's Dov Ariyeh Hu Li. He's like a bear waiting in ambush, that's the word, like a bear that lies await to ambush his enemy or his prey. Ari b'Mistarim, like a lion in hiding. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to punish Klal Yisrael. Sefer Eicha, punishments of Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting like a bear in ambush or like a lion. It's Ari b'Mistarim. Now, of course, our pasuk says it's the Kefir, Kechefir b'Mistarim. And Kechefir Yeshev b'Mistarim. We've explained it with the Malbim sprout of the lion cub being too young to go out to hunt, and so he lies and he waits at home until about the age of two, after which he'll go hunting. But the but it's just interesting how in Eicha it's given there that it's the Ariba Mistarim, the lion, that's the fully mature lion who lies in waiting. Okay, small
bear,
point.
The bear
first, Ari, and Ari. Then it goes on to say Ariba Mistarim as well. First the dove. The bear, and then as well the lion. Ari b'Mistarim. But that's Ari is a fully grown lion. Here we have it's the Chechefir Yoshev b'Mistarim. Yeah. So it's a bit of a slight difference between the two. Okay.
There's an Israeli plane called the Kefir.
Was that?
Yeah,
no,
K-F-I-R.
No. Oh, really?
They made it in Israel.
Ah, lion.
It's called the Kefir.
Oh, didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, scary. Thank you. Okay. Let's come on to a piece, a very interesting piece from Rav Shimshon Falhash. Rav Shimshon Falhash says, Dimiono, the enemy's appearance is ka'arieh, is like a lion. says the Tradition of Hirsch, that's what the lion, that's what the enemy thinks of himself. He imagines himself to be the Aryeh. I'm the big, powerful lion. So Dimyono is really, you could translate it as his imagination. The enemy's imagination is that he's like this all-powerful lion, whereas in actual fact, he's nothing of the sort. At best, or maybe at worst, he's like a lion cub, and I think that Pshat is brought in there as well. Yeah. Then there's in the Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch on Tehillim, there's a reference to Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch in Noach, chapter Vav Pasuk Yod Daled. Have I got this? I think I do. It's chapter Vav Pasuk Yud Daled, right in the beginning of Noach, where the Pasuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Noach how to build the ark. Now it says, V'chofarta osa, you should coat it, mibayis mechutz, both inside and outside, ba'kofer, with kofer. So Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, as his, very much his derech in Lashon HaKodesh, he relates these two words. We've got here kafir is a lion cub, and there you've got kofer, which is a coating, yeah, or it's some kind of, I can't remember what it's translated, pitch. Thank you, pitch to make it to make the wood waterproof of the teva, to make it waterproof. Yeah. Says Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, what's this word bakofer? It means a cover. In fact, my own little aside, it wouldn't surprise me if the English word cover comes from kafei resh. Kofer is a cover, yeah? And relating, of course, to what we've got in this week's Sedra, the kapores. The kapores is the lid on top of the oron. Yeah, we're coming up to the Parshas Truma now. The kapores on top of is the lid that covers the oron. That's called a kapores, which is a covering. We also have kapora, which is atonement, which in effect covers over any averus. So these are all related words. And he says that's why it's bakufer, it's a protective covering for the oron. Yeah? Protective covering for the teva. Thank you, for the teva, for Noah's Ark. Yeah, that's what's called kofer. And it's the kapores, which is the lid on top of the oron. All coverings. So he says, how does that relate to a lion cub? So Shushan Fal Hirsch there, in Parshas Noach, chapter 4, Pasuk Yud Daled, he says, because a lion cub, or rather, he translates a kafir as a young male lion who's just beginning to become a leader. So it seems that the Shushan Fal Hirsch is learning a little bit differently to the Malbim. The Malbim learns to talk about this really young lion cub, maybe as young as 6 months old, who's not yet old enough to go out and hunt. Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch learns it is a young lion, but maybe not quite as young as a lion cub. Somewhere in between a cub and a fully grown Aryeh. What is the kafir? The kafir is a lion who's just beginning to take some degree of responsibility for other younger lions. And he says, so he's becoming a leader and he's taking a protective stance to cover in a protective mode to cover younger lions. So that's how he connects the word kofer and kapores, which are covers, to the word kafir, which is a lion cub just beginning to mature. He then says, and I have to add this in, that he connects it, that the pasuk there in Noach refers to gofer, tevas atse gofer, that the wood used for the teva was gofer wood. Says Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, gofer is almost the same word as kofer. The only difference is the gimel and the kaf. Yeah? But the gimel and the kaf are connected letters, because the sound is made from the back of the throat, I think, or the back of the mouth. Gofer and kofer. If you try it, you'll feel that your tongue is pushing against the top of the roof of your mouth, both when you say a g and when you say a k. Yeah? So gimel and kaf are related letters. So Shimshon Fal Hirsch says that the gofer wood has kofer qualities. The gofer wood was like the kofer pitch would make the teva water resistant. Gofer wood is a wood that is naturally water resistant. because it has a quality similar to kosher. I had to put that now. I mean, it's Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch, classic Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch, explaining the etymology of these words. Yeah? Amazing?
Comparison.
Yeah, yeah, they're very similar words. Now, let me come back now to the piece that I couldn't work out. And last Shabbos a week ago, I went to Rabbi Taubman and I showed him this Stickle Torah, and I said to him, do me a favour, I'm lost here, could you help me out? And he worked on it for a long time, probably about an hour and a half actually, and he got the pshat and explained it to me. The starting point is the Pasuk in Yecheskel. So the Pasuk in Yecheskel is chapter Lamed Hei Pasuk Vav, where the Pasuk says, Lochein Chai Oni Nu'um Hashem Elekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and it's almost like it's a lashon of a shavua, I hereby swear, Ki Ladom E'escha, I will make you into blood. To whom is Hashem referring? He's referring to Esav. Ki Ladom E'escha, I'll make you into blood, V'dom Yirdofecha, and blood will chase you, Imlo Dom Sonesa, because surely you hated blood, V'dom Yirdofecha, and blood will chase you. So this whole chapter in Yecheskel is a reference to Esav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Esav, to Edom. So the point being that he says the blood will chase you, im lo dom san Esav, because surely you have hated blood. Now the Medrash Rabbah, let me show you Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah is at the beginning. Oh no, wait a minute.
For Esav loved blood.
Oh, the kasha, the Medrash Rabbah, exactly the kasha. Yeah, now you see how this works. The Medrash Rabbah asks this. The Medrash Rabbah is in. Oh wait, I adjusted down the reference. Wrong page. The Medrash Rabbah, right page. The Medrash Rabbah is in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Samach Gimel, Os Yud Gimel. Oh, so the Medrash Rabbah takes these words from the pasuk in Yecheskel, Im lo dom sonesa, which we've translated as surely you've hated blood. But the Medrash Rabbah in the Hava Amina assumes that im lo dom sonesa means literally you did not hate blood. Ask the Medrash Rabbah, your kasha, Johnny. Yeah? What do you mean, Esav, you don't hate blood? Esav loves blood. Im lo dom sonesa v'dom yirdofecha, asks the Medrash Rabbah, for Esav. The Esav, who's sonei Esadom? Esav hates blood? Nothing of the kind. Esav, bloodthirsty murderer, he loved blood. So the Medrash Rabbah gives a number of answers. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman says, no, it's dam b'chura, b'karbonus. Which type of blood did Esav hate? He was the b'chur. In his day, the b'chur brought the karbonus. He hated bringing karbonus with the blood of the karbonus. In other words, he hated the mitzvah of using blood of karbonus. Yeah, that's Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman's answer. Rav Levi says it's dam shel milah. He hated blood of bris milah. He hated mitzvah, so he hated blood of bris milah. For Rabbanan Amri, the Chachamim say no. Sonesa domo shel odom begufo. He hated the blood of any other person while it was still coursing through his veins. He loved to shed blood. What he couldn't stand was blood still circulating in someone else's body. So there are three different shots. Either he hated blood of Karbonus, or he hated the blood of Brismila, or he hated blood while it was still circulating in someone else's body because he wanted to murder them. Yeah, he hated all mitzvahs. Exactly. Exactly. He hated mitzvahs, he hated blood of Karbonus, he hated Brismila, and he hated blood while it was still keeping someone else alive. He wanted to see that blood spilt.
Bloodthirsty
man.
He also hated Yaakov. And God forbids his flesh and blood.
Oh, very nice chat. That's not brought here. Pardon? No, not all mitzvahs. Kibbutz Aim, we had a thing for Kibbutz Aim, yeah? Kibbutz, thank you, yeah, Kibbutz, yeah. Oh, so that's now the Medrash Rabbah. Now, based on that Medrash Rabbah, we now move to a very strange, or slightly unusual for us, quotation. And this is brought in Meseches Kala Rabosi, you know, the small Mesechtas Maseches Kala, Maseches Smachas, Maseches Geirim, Maseches Sofrim, the small Maseches, there's something that mean, I think people once told me they're braces really, and they're printed usually in the back of the Gemara of the Dezara. Now the Maseches Kala Rabosi, and it's right at the end of Perek Zion, where the Medrash there, where the Maseches Kala says as follows, V'dom yirdafucha, this is this pasuk in Yecheskel we quoted, im lo dom sonesa, dim you hate blood, and the Medrash, and the Maseches Kala asks the same kasha the Medrash asks, v'chi esav sone dam, haya, did esav hate blood, v'alo kol ma'asav einam elo b'shvichos domim, his whole life was geared around murder. So what do you mean he hated blood? He didn't. Shenemar, and we quote our pasuk, dimiyono, what's the, how do you read the passage? Dimiono, is it Dimiono Ka'ari? Dimiono Ka'ari, sorry. Dimiono Ka'ari, that his appearance is like a lion. So here, Maseches Kala is referring our pasuk to Esav. His appearance is like a lion. Dimiono Ka'ari, Yichsof Litrov, he wants to rip apart. The Chechafir, Yosef Mistarim, and like a lion cub living in secret places. So from here, from our pasuk, we see that Esav loved blood. He's compared to a lion. He loved blood. He loved to rip people apart, kill people, and so on. So, but the Maseches Kala doesn't take everything for granted and asks the kasha, "Umei mashma? How do you know from this pasuk that Esav loved blood?" The pasuk says, "Demiono ka'ariyeh, his appearance is like a lion. Yichsef yichsef, he wants to rip apart." Like a lion. Where do you get from there that Esav loved blood? The Maseches Kala is challenging the drasha. We've said he loves blood, quoting our pasuk, Dimyono Ka'ariyeh. Ask the Maseches Kala, how do you know? Where's the proof in the pasuk? Umei e mashma. I'll bring a quick aside here. Umei e mashma. That word umei e is spelled Vav Mem Aleph Yud, which sometimes reads umai. And what? But Rabbi Kuper, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very particular. He told me, in this type of phrase, it's umei'e, and from where? Umei'e, mashma, a different word. Umei'e, mashma, and from where is it implied? Dilma, so the Maseches Kala challenged it, Dilma, maybe l'kapuche, maybe Esav simply wants to overpower. He's like a lion who wants to overpower. From where do you get, where is it implied and how possibly he loves blood? Maybe he's just like a lion who wants to overpower someone. How do you think he wants the blood? And the Maseches Kala answers, midichsiv, because it says, dimiono, dalet mem yud nun vov, as it's written, velukasiv, and it does not say, dimiono, dalet mem yud vov. Nun vav. If you look at Demiono, there's no yud. Sorry, there's no vav after the yud. Okay, there's no vav after the yud. The word could be written and maybe should be written technically with a vav after the yud. But it's not written with a vav. It's written a chaser vav without a vav. You've just got the cholam, just the dot on top for the o sound. Demiono. Shema minah. From here we see that he loved blood. What's the pshat? It took Robert and on this Robert Tullman and I battled away on this, and I must again shkach him. Without the vav, the word can be read with totally different vowels to read domenu, our blood. That's the punchline. He's after our blood, domenu. He's after our blood. So the Maseches Kala is medayik this word dimiono, which should have been spelt technically, should have really been spelt with a vav. It's not spelt with a vav, and therefore has this and therefore has this double meaning. It could be read without the different voweling. Could be read domenu, our blood. From here we see that Esav loved blood. Yeah, you hear that? You like that? Malcolm, you like that word? Yeah, domenu. Yeah, it could be spelled. It could be read domenu. So from here we derive there's a reference to blood. So Esav is this bloodthirsty individual, and he's after our blood. Domenu, he's after our blood. Good.
He was born ruddy.
He was born with a ruddy complexion. Yeah, but that's not enough to make a person into a murderer.
No. It's like an indication of what was going to become.
Absolutely. The Gemara in Shabbos, and I can't remember where, it's quite late in Gemara Shabbos, says that David HaMelech also had a ruddy complexion. Yeah, and was also born into a muzzle of blood. And the Gemara says, if a person is born into a muzzle of blood,
become a
sheichet or a moel, channel it properly. Yeah, that's it. Good. Right. Should we have a bash at Yud Gimel? Yeah. Should we move on to Yud Gimel? Okay. Yud Gimel. Kumo Hashem, arise Hashem, Kadmo Fonov. Oh, I'm just trying to say Kadmo Fonov. Correct. Direct. It really means get there first. Kadmo, get there first. Is it? Kamofonov? I can't remember. I'm going to use the translation. How does the English...
Kadima,
to get there first. Go forward. Malcolm, help me out, please. How does the English translate Kadmofonov?
Confront him.
Oh, yes, here as well. Confront him. Get, in other words, speak to him directly, Fonov, to his face. Get to him, confront the enemy. Yeah. Thank you for that. Come off one of Hachriyehu, bring him to his knees, bring the enemy down. Palatonafshi, save my soul or save my life or rescue my life. May Rosha from the wicked man, Charbecho, your sword. Hey, I've translated it without explaining it. Okay, so it's a tefillah from David. David is being mispalel here. Save me from the enemy once again. Kum Hashem, arise Hashem. He says, please arise, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Kadmofonov, confront him, confront the enemy to his face. Hachriyehu, bring him to his knees. Palata nafshi, save my life. Me rosha from the wicked man. Chabecho, your sword. Yeah, Rashi explains the word Hachriyehu as to overpower. He uses the root Kuf Peches to overpower. And it means knock him on his legs and hit him on the legs so that he automatically falls down and can no longer chase me. Yeah, that's how Rashi learns the Hachriyehu. Kuriim, Vanachnu Kuriim or Mishtachvim. Korea is to bend your knees. Yeah, so, yeah. We bend our knees. So it's a reference to that. Bring him to his knees. Basically, Hachriyehu, bring him to his knees. Bring him down. Bring the enemy down. Now, the tricky phrase in this pasuk is the last phrase. Meirosha chabecha, save my life. Paltanashi, save my life. Meirosha chabecha, from the enemy, your sword. So Rashi and most Rishonim go with this. That says, what does it mean? The Rosha, your sword. He's talking to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the enemy, who is a Rasha, is working as your Shaliach. He's your messenger, and he's your sword, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to punish us, or to punish anyone who's chayvim ben Yaveris. So the Rasha is simply seen, the enemy of Klal Yisrael, is viewed as a Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to mete out punishments against Klal Yisrael. So that's the Rasha. Now this is backed up. By a number of pesukim, which you see in Tanakh. The Yalkut Me'amnois quotes this. He quotes the pasuk. It's actually brought in a medrash as well. I think it's in the medrash Yalkut Shimoni. He quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya chapter Yud pasuk He. One moment. Yeshaya chapter Yud pasuk He. Yeah. Hoy Asher. I'm not quite sure what the word hoy means. It's an exclamation of something. Asher, shevet api, the stick of my wrath. Well, Asher came to attack Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, they are the stick, the punishment stick of my anger, of my wrath. So Asher is described as the punishing stick of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise here, the Rosha is described as Charbecha, the sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me. Another pasuk is brought by Rabbi Avram ben Ramach, a pasuk from Yirmiyah, and it's chapter Kav Zayin pasuk Vav, where the pasuk describes Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this pasuk Vav. Ve'atah, and now says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi nasatis kol ha'aretz ha'eileh, I have delivered all these lands biyad into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. And the next word is the punchline, Avdi. my servant. HaKadosh Baruch, yeah, isn't that amazing? HaKadosh Baruch refers to Nebuchadnezzar, what an awful man, or a big Rasha, as his servant. What Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, Avram is described as Eved Hashem. How Nebuchadnezzar is described as a servant? The answer is, because he's doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by punishing, by being the Keli, he's the Keli, he's the medium through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish Hashem. Pardon?
But Nebuchadnezzar did not take the decision to attack Yerushalayim lightly. No, he did something, you know, with spearing through things in different directions to see which.
But where was that?
That was Vespasian.
It's a Gemara in Gittin, and I think Hashem. Yeah.
Vespasian,
if
I'm wrong.
Yeah, you threw the spear in this, and each one landed in
the arrow.
Yeah.
Didn't Roman do something similar?
Israel had aligned with Egypt, and Egypt was at war with Nebuchadnezzar, and Egypt let them down. And so that's what we were learning with Rabbi Shisha, if you remember. So it was a political decision. On his part, he wanted to settle the old scores with Israel.
I think you remember somewhere
that he didn't take the decision that he took the cheshbon
before attacking. Yeah.
At any rate, here he's described as the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? How can he be a servant of Hashem? Because he's a punishing Keli. He's the Keli through whom Klal Yisrael has punishment.
Interpretation. He says, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword.
Oh, we're coming to this. Very good. Yeah, it's another pshat. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not a wrong pshat, it's another pshat. We'll come to it. Yeah. Good. The Ebenezer says, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, why? To display your strength. When the enemy comes to attack me, you show your strength, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and destroy the enemy. Again, learning like Rashi, that the enemy is described as Harbecho, the sword of Hashem. The Yalkut Memez brings another pshat here, that who is the Rosh in our pasuk? It's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah, why? Chazal described, and I can't remember where this is brought, Chazal described the Yetzirah as the same being as the Satan, who in turn is the same being as the Malach HaMoves, who of course has a cheref, has a sword for which to do his dastardly job. And therefore, the Rosh here is the Yetzirah, who is equated with the Malach HaMoves, and therefore he is the cherev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what David is saying is, please save me from the Yetzirah. Pal Tanafshi, save my life, or save my spiritual life, may Rosha from the Yetzirah Charbecho, who is equal to the Malach HaMoves. Yeah, that's how the Yalkut Memez learns it. Now, Rabbi Avram ben Ramach brings your pshat.
Yes.
Rabbi Avram ben Ramach brings a number of things on the pasuk. Number one, he says, "Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, kadma fonov, confront him, confront the enemy to his face." But he knows differently. He says, "Kadma fonov" means goes together with the next phrase, "Hachriyehu," trip him up, knock him on the legs, let the enemy fall over, and the enemy should fall over forwards, so that his face hits the ground first. Kadma is an expression of first, lekadem, to get there early, like you were saying. Yeah, kadma fonov, his face should be the first thing to hit the ground, and therefore presumably with the greatest force. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, kadma fonov. Interestingly enough, we learned the medrash a few times in the shiurim about when David killed Goliath. And of course he hurled the stone at Goliath, and by the laws of nature, Goliath hit him on the forehead, and he should have knocked him backwards, but he knocked him forwards, so that David wouldn't have quite so far to walk in order to cut off his head. Yeah. So then Kadmafonov, let his face hit the ground first. He should fall forwards with his face hitting the ground first for maximum impact. That's how Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach learns. Now then he discusses this word Rosha. Rosha, saved my life, may Rosha Chabecha from the Rosha your sword. So the first thing he brings is Rashi's pshat, Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach. We're going through three different pshatim, all from Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach. What's the matter? Yeah, Three pshatim from Rabban ben Ramach. First pshat is exactly like Rashi. The Rosha is the sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shileach to punish us. That's, and he also brings this pasuk from, he brings that pasuk from Yirmiyah, describing the Chametz as an Eved. Second pshat is he says that the word Charbecha really is an abbreviated form of B'Charbecha, with your sword. And the base is implied. In other words, you should kill the Rosha B'charbecha, with your sword. And that's the shout that you got written in your sefer. Yeah? Kill the... Yeah? May Rosha save my life from the Rosha. How should you save my life? But with your sword. B'charbecha. What about the missing base? How can the base simply disappear? So Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach quotes a pasuk in Melachim base, and it's chapter Tez Zayin, pasuk Ches. Let me show you the pasuk here. Tez Zayin, pasuk Ches. Where the pasuk says, "Vayikach Ochoz esakesef esazahav." This is Ochoz, who is one of the kings who took the silver and gold, hanimtza beis Hashem, which is found in the house of Hashem, i.e., from the beis Hamikdash, over Osis with the Melech, and also in the royal treasures. Vayishlach leMelech Ashur Shochad, and he sent it to the king of Ashur as a bribe to avoid an invasion. He sent, and it's considered really appalling what he did. He took gold and silver from the Beis Hamikdash and sent it off to the king of Ashur as a bride. But look at this pasuk. He took gold and silver, hanimtza, that was found, Beis Hashem. Which really means Beis Hashem, in the house of God, in the Beis Hamikdash. So the base is missing. So Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach says, you can see that you do find such a form in Hebrew, Hanimsa Beis Hashem, which really means Hanimsa Beis Hashem. So likewise here, we've got Meirosha Charbecha, which really means Meirosha B'Charbecha, punish him with your sword. That's the second pshat of Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach. And the third pshat is the most stunning pshat of all. Says Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach, the word Rosha in our pasuk does not mean a wicked man. It really is an anagram of the word Ra'ash, Resh Ayin Shin. Okay? And Ra'ash means chaos or terror. Okay? And he quotes a pasuk. And the pasuk is in Eov, and it's chapter Lamed Dalet, pasuk Kaftes. And this pasuk really is a knockout proof. Watch this. Let me find this. Eov, chapter Lamed Dalet, pasuk Kaftes, where the pasuk says, "V'hu yashkit," when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides peace and quiet for a person, "Umyashia," who can now create chaos? No one can. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes a person or wants a person to have peace and quiet, then Umi Yarshia, who can cause chaos or terror for such a person? No one can. Hashem has decreed a person should have peace and quiet. You can't possibly, no one can change that decree to create chaos. But so you can see from this pasuk that Yarshia is the opposite of Yashkit. Yashkit is Sheket, peace and quiet. So the opposite of Yashkit is Yarshia. But the word Yarshia comes from the root Resh Shin Ayin. So what does it mean? It's an anagram of Resh Ayin Shin, Ra'ash, which does mean terror or chaos. You with me? You with me? Yeah? Yeah? So you can see from this photo, the Yashkit to Miyashia, see, yeah? The Yashkit to Miyashia, that word Yashia, which looks like the word Rosha, coming from the Rosha, really, I guess it does come from Resh Shin Ayin, but it really means Resh Ayin Shin, by an exchange of letters, okay? And it's a parallel of Yashkit, it's a parallel and opposite of Yashkit. Hashem creates Sheket for a person, peace and quiet, so no one can disturb that. Miyashia. So from here we see a proof that we have this. Yeah, have a look at this. It's pasuk number Kaftes, top right. Yeah? V'hu yashkit u'miyashia. Says Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach, we see here that the root, or the word, resh shin ayin, can mean ra'ash, chaos. And he learns as follows. And David is saying,
how if it becomes wicked, it's chaos. He's wicked.
There's going to be some connection. There is a connection, absolutely. But look what, so look how Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach learns. He says, Tal Tanafshi saved my life, Mei Rasha, from chaos, from terror. What kind of terror? Charbecha, from the terror of the sword, of your sword. Saved my life from the terror. Yeah, that's how he learns. And what's so interesting is that we see this in other words as well. You see this exchange of letters, and a classic example is the word kesev, which means a lamb. Like we have Shor O Chesev Ki Yevoled, so Pasukim Emor, chapter Kaf, page Pasuk Kaf Zayin, and we have the word keves, which also means a lamb. Shnei Chavosim, right? Shnei Chavosim, Bnei Shana, Pinchas, chapter Kaf Ches, Pasuk Gimel. Yeah? So we have Shnei Chavosim, you have Kesev and Keves. It's the same letters and a different sequence. One is an anagram of the other. And I once saw, and I thought I kept it, and I hunted for it, and I couldn't find it, one of these Devartura sheets that's come up from America. I think it's from America. Yes,
the big one.
It's got Mishnah stories, and there's a halachic page. Yeah. There was a halachic page at the back by Rabbi Daniel Neustadt, and there,
the end of it.
Yes, and he had a whole section at one time about mistakes in laning, right? So mistakes in laning. I'm interested in mistakes. Yeah. So, and he says there, and he brings a shaila, and I can't remember the halacha. Supposing you've got the word keves in the Torah, and the Baal Kriya would read it kesev, or the other way around. Shor, for example, we have Shor O Chesev Ki Yevoled. Now imagine the Baal Kriya would rename that not Shor O Chesev, which is correct, but Shor O Chesev. I'm sorry, O Cheves. Thank you, Shor O Cheves. Is that really a mistake? The meaning is the same. They are alternative words. On the one hand, he's read a word from the Torah wrongly, so maybe we should correct him. On the other hand, he swapped it for an alternative form of the same word. Maybe it's okay. And he brings it as a shaila, and I can't remember the Pesach Halacha. Yeah? And Baruch Hashem, when I'm standing here in shul checking the laning, no one's ever done that. Oh, I don't know what I'd do. Yeah? I probably would correct it, because, just in case. But anyway.
No, we have to change the meaning.
It has to change meaning. Yeah. So here you have exactly the same thing. We've got the word Rosha, which has the same meaning as Ra'ash. Right. So it's a similar interchange of letters. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Chiddush? Yeah? Yeah. Worth staying for that? Yeah? It's 2 minutes past ten. I'd love to carry on, but if you want to go, Norman, it's recorded. I'll give you the recording. I can email it to you. Yeah? Okay. The Yalk Shimoni brings a number of things on this pasuk. He says, "Kadmo l'rishio," this idea of kadmo fonov, get his face first, confront him. Says the Yalkut Shemoni, "Kadmo l'rishio," please Hakadosh Baruch Hu, confront the Rosha, ad lo yekadminoch, before he confronts you. That's one thing he brings. He also says that it brings a pshat on Hachriyehu, knock him down. He quotes a pasuk. He quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Thank you. In fact, it's not that long till we get to this pasuk. Well, not long. It's only three chapters ahead. It's pasuk chapter chaf, pasuk tes. We said it this morning. Hema koru v'nafalu. They go down to their knees v'nafalu and they fall. Talking about the enemies of Klal Yisrael. V'anachnu ba'vi kamnu. We rise up. V'nisodod, and we are successful. I think it means jubilantly successful, something like that. So. But the word kafrish ayin, the root kafrish ayin, can also mean to come to a halachic decision. To be machria means to weigh up the evidence and to come to a halachic decision. So the Yalkut Shimoni says, Hachri ehu lechova. Let me see if I've got this right. Yes. Hachri ehu lechova. Judge the enemy lechova, badly. That's how he learns it. Hachriyeh lechova, because to be machriya is to come to a halachic decision. Now, what's this idea in Palto Nafshi? Save my life, Me Rosha Chabecha. So he says, who is this Rosha? Who's the Rosha in the pasuk? So the Yalkut Shimoni says, it's Me Osa Rosha. It's that Rosha Shebo Mikach Shel Osechev, who comes with the power of that sword. Which sword are we talking about? We're referring to the sword brought in Pashas Toldos, Val Chabachosichye, where Yitzchak gives his bracha to Esav, Val Chabachosichye, chapter is in Bereishis chapter Kavzayim Pasuk Mem, Val Chabachosichye. So save my life from that Rosha who uses the sword. That's Ramshat. And then he brings another pshat. Let's save my life. May Osa Rosha from the Rosha Shuhu Chabecha, who is your sword, She'atarudebo Olomcha, the sword with which you punish your world. And that's really the pshat that Rashi brought, the most of Rosh and bring, that the Rosha, the enemy of Klal Yisrael, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Keli and his Shaliach to punish us. And then he brings another pshat in the Yalkut Shemini in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya. And it's chapter Lamed Dalad Pasuk Hey. Get this here. Chapter Lamed Dalad Pasuk Hey. Yeah. Where the Pasuk says. Oh yes, I've got it here. That's why. Right. Chapter Lamed Dalad Pasuk Hey, where the Pasuk says, Ki Riv Sav Hashamayim Charbi. There's a connection here. Harbi, my sword. My sword is sated. Yes. Hashem's sword has become full of blood. Ki rivsa. It's like kosi revoya. My cup overflows. Ki rivsa v'ashamayim harbi. My sword is sated with blood. Hine al Edom teired. Behold, it will come down on Edom. So the pasuk equates the cherev of Hashem as acting, refers to the cherev, the sword of God, as acting upon Edom. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says the sword should come down on the enemy. Which enemy? The enemy referred to in that pasuk, where the pasuk says Kirivsa Vashemai Mecharbi, right? My sword in heaven is sated with blood. I.e. punish Esav. Again, all of that, all the idea of punishing Esav. There's another pos. Was that number damage? Yeah. Oh, and then there's another pshat brought in the Yalkut Shemoni. Whom should Hashem bring down? Which enemy should Hashem bring down? Pal Tanashi Merosha Chabecha is a pasuk referred to right at the end of Tehillim. Mi'etz Hashem, we should all live long enough to get there in the Shir. Yeah. Right at the end, it's Tehillim chapter Kuf Mem Tes, that's the penultimate chapter of Tehillim, Pasuk Vov, the Pasuk we said, the Pasuk which says, Romamost Kael Bigronom, the lofty things of God are in their throat. What are the lofty things of God? It's words of Torah. That people are speaking words of Torah, the lofty ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are in their throat. The Cheref Pifios Biyodom, and the double-edged sword is in their hand. What does it refer to? Again, it refers to the Torah. A person who's got knowledge of Torah, who's learning Torah, is as though he's got a double-edged sword in his hand. So, our pasuk, Pal Tanashi Me Rosha Charbecha, save me from the Rosha Charbecha, who's not interested in your sword. Which sword? Torah learning. Because the Cheref Pifios Biyodom, the double-edged sword of Torah, is in their hands. In other words, so the Yalkut Shemini says, save me from the Rosha who's trying to be mevatel me from learning Torah. That's how he learns it. The word Charbecha being a reference to the Torah, because of the Cheref Pifios, the double-edged sword, being a reference to Torah, and David is saying, please save me from anyone who wants to be mevatel my Torah learning. Now, a beautiful idea from Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. Oh, you know that, Dushinsky Hasidim. Yeah, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So he comes back on what we said earlier, that on the pasuk Val Charba Chosichye. The pasuk in our pasuk, that David says, Pal Tanashi, save my life, may Rosha from the Rosha who is Esav, Charbecha, who's been blessed with the bracha of the Al Charba Chosichye, you'll live by the sword. So he quotes the Medrash Rabbah, where the Medrash Rabbah, it's in Bereishis. Let me show you this Medrash Rabbah. It's in Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, and it's Perek Samachay Os Tes Zayin, and it's very familiar to us. and it's commenting on the pasuk in Parshas Toldos, Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav, right? Where Yaakov, Yitzchak feels Yaakov, and he says, well, it sounds like Yaakov, but it feels like Esav. Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav. Says the Medrash Rabbah, Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav. Bizman Shekolo Shel Yaakov Motsui Bevotei Knesios. At a time when the voice of Yaakov is heard in the shuls, i.e. at a time when Yidden are davening, Ein hayadayim yidei Esav, then the hands of Esav have no power. Yeah? When you, it's one or the other. You either have the kol of Yaakov, or you have the yadayim of Esav, right? So in the time when the kol, when the voice of Yaakov is active, then the yadayim yidei Esav have no power. Ve'im lav, and if not, if there's no sound of Yaakov davening, of Klaus are davening in the Batik Nisir, then Hayadayim Yidei Esav, then the Yadayim will be powerful, the hands of Esav will be powerful. So Yossi Dushinsky asks a simple kasha on this medrash. He says, the pasuk doesn't seem to match with that. That Medrash Rabbah says it's one or the other. You either have the kol of Yaakov active, in which case the Yadayim of Esav will be dormant, or you have the kol of Yaakov where there's no davening, the kol of Yaakov will be dormant, and the Yadayim of Esav will be active, one or the other. But the two of them are not concurrent. He says that doesn't go very well with the pasuk. The pasuk seems to imply that they go well together. Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav. It doesn't say Hakol kol Yaakov v'ein hayadayim yidei Esav. It's not one is positive and one's negative. They both seem to be positive concurrently.
Yes.
Yeah? You hear the kasha? Yeah? So how can you have Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim yidei Esav? Says of Yossi Dushinsky with an amazing vort. He says no. As long as the Yodayim are Yedei Esav, we're okay. If the hands are Esav's hands, that means he's acting under his own volition, then we are safe. It's only when he's acting as a Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're in deep trouble. So HaKol Kol Yaakov, when you have a strong voice of Yaakov, when that is positive, then don't worry, it's Hayadayim, it's simply Yidei Esav, it's just the hands of Esav. They're Esav's hands, not where he's acting under his own volition and not acting as a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In which case we're safe. The Kol Yaakov is active and the Yadayim Yidei Esav will be dormant. It's only when we don't have the Kol of Yaakov, then Yidei Esav will really be Yidei Hashem. They'll be the hands of Hashem because Hashem will operate via Esav. So he's saying that's how it goes so well in the pasuk. Hakol Kol Yaakov is positive. When the voice of Yaakov is active, then don't worry. Hayadayim Yidei Esav. The hands will be Esav's hands, and he'll be powerless because he's acting under his own volition without Hakadosh Baruch Hu pulling his puppet strings, so to speak. Yeah, that's how Yossi Dushinsky learns it. He also learns that Palta Nafshi Mirosha, on the last half of the pasuk, Palta Nafshi Mirosha, he says, what kind of representative do you appoint to speak to someone? So he says, it depends who the someone is. Supposing you want to negotiate with a king, so you send someone who's eloquent and who's refined to speak to the king. But supposing you want to negotiate with a mafia boss, you don't send someone who's eloquent, you send someone who himself is a thug, yeah? Because a person reacts better to his own kind. So here says Rav Yossi Dushinsky, David HaMelech is davening, if you need to deliver us into the hands of our enemies, please at least don't make him into a Rasha. We shouldn't have to fall to Esav, who is uncouth and unrefined. At least deliver us into the hands of enemies who are refined. That's how David says, Palta Nafshi Me Rasha Chabecha. I shouldn't have to fall into the hands of the Rasha who wields the sword, i.e. Esav, but if we need to fall into the hands of an enemy, at least they should make it someone who's refined. And we're almost finished. You alright with this, Norman?
Yeah.
You should go, you're in a hurry. Alright, a Medrash Rabbah from the very beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, brought by Reb Pinchas, and he comments that there are five Pesukim in Tehillim which all start with Kumo Hashem. all have the phrase Kumar Hashem. Now we have done this, we actually learnt this medrash before, and we learnt this on Pasuk. Oh boy, we had this earlier. We actually covered this medrash earlier on an earlier chapter, chapter Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, I think it is. And in fact, this morning when I wanted to check up on it, I got the recording, I played back the recording of that shiur, so I will actually be able to check up on it. So, now, there are five places in Tehillim which have the phrase Kumar Hashem, and he lists them all, and of the five, this one in our Pasuk is the last one. Kumar Hashem, arise Hashem, kamofonov, confront the enemy, confront the face of the enemy. Now, in fact, there are far more than five, but the five we're referring to are the five in the first Sefer of Tehillim. We know that Tehillim is divided up into different Sforim, and we're still on Sefer Aleph, surprise, surprise, and there are five of them here in Sefer Aleph. And he lists them all, and you'll find that just for the sake of references, they are in Chapter Gimel, Pasuk Ches, Chapter Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Chapter Tes, Pasuk Chof, Chapter Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, and ours, Chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. As I say, there are other ones. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies to this. This is where David requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please Hashem, arise. Arise and help us out from our enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies, Omalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies to David, you want me to get up and save you? Not so fast. David Beni, David my son, Afilu at mikimeni kama pa'omim, even if you ask me to rise up many times, eini kom, I will not arise. I won't get up to help you. Ve'imos eini kom, when will I get up to help you? L'chashetire aniyim nishtodim, ve'evyonim ne'enokim. When you see aniyim crying out for help, and poor people, another expression of poor people, who are screaming for assistance. When you respond to their cry, then I will get up and help you. And it's referred to Hadohu Dechsiv, and this is the Pasuk, we had it earlier, I got the Pasuk wrong, it's chapter Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud, it's not, where it says, Mishod An, I'm going to get the Pasuk, chapter Yud Beis, it's Pasuk Vav. Possible, it's a misprint here. Yes, yeah, chapter Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, Mishod Aniyim, from the screams, I think it means of the poor people, may Enkas Avionim, from the cry of the poor people, Ata Okum Yoma Hashem, says God, now I'll get up. So Hashem says, you keep saying to me, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, I'm not bunching an inch to help you, not until I see other Yidden helping poor people. Then, Ata Okum, when I see you responding to the cry of the poor person, Ata Okum, then I will get up, Yom Hashem, says God. That's how the Medrash Rabbah learns. And one final thing on this, brought in the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, he says, Kuma Hashem, he says, I'll get up in order to do mitzvahs. I got that wrong. Kadma Fonov, Kuma Hashem, Kadma Fonov, confronting, says the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, what does it mean? It means, I will get up and I'll do mitzvahs. What's the pshat in that? He says, I'll get up early and I'll do mitzvahs straight away. Why? Because we have a Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ein Beis Amud Aleph, which actually is quite topical because at first the Pasuk in yesterday's Sedra, Imba Machtes Yimotze Agamos, if a person's under attack from a potential murderer, you should retaliate and kill this potential murderer. Imbola hargacha, if someone tries to kill you, hashkim lahargo, you get up early and kill him. Yeah? In self-defense. So the Sefer Eretz HaChaim says it doesn't just refer to a physical murderer, it also refers to a spiritual murderer, i.e. the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is trying to bring you down, you get up early and kill him. How do you kill off the Yetzirah? By doing mitzvahs. Yeah? So that's brought here, that's referred to here. Kadma Fonov Hachriyehu, bring him down, bring the enemy down. Who's the enemy? It's the Yetzirah. And how will you bring him down? By doing mitzvahs. Okay?